I'm Bruce Schmall from Claremont, Minnesota, which is between Owatonna and Rochester, and I'm the president of the Minnesota Soybean Growers Association.
There are obvious reasons that you should be at Commodity Classic, but what brings you here, Bruce?
Well, the main purpose of ASA and Minnesota Soybean at the Classic is basically to work on our resolutions, our guidelines, our principles that guide the Soybean Association and soybean industry. So we gather here to look at all the various resolutions that have been proposed by the different states, look at them, debate them, and then put into place the ones that we think really represent our goals.
Tell me about those goals. What are your priorities here?
Well, from a Minnesota standpoint, one of our biggest concerns right now is water quality, and that's a concern throughout much of the nation. You've seen what's happened in the Chesapeake Bay area, where regulations have been put into play that are guidelines for agriculture over there. And not everybody is on the same page that those are the right regulations and they're going to solve the water quality issue. So Minnesota has been targeted as one of the states that we're trying to do a voluntary water certification program for farmers to basically sign up your farms, include conservation practices that would improve water quality off from your farm. And collectively, we hope we can get enough people to do that, that it'll improve the water quality in our state. And consequently, if this works out, it might set the standard for some of the other states that have a lot of lakes and rivers and streams. So try to improve our water quality.
Let's talk about the past year. It was a huge drought across the Corn Belt, and there are fears that 2013 will be a repeat of that. Tell me what took place on your farm.
Well, it's kind of interesting. In Minnesota, we're so long from north to south that there's quite a variation. We at some of our meetings, we do roll call. People will talk about their yields last fall, and you've seen a wide variety of what happened out there. On my particular farm between Owatonna and Rochester in the south, southeastern part of the state, our area was very dry, but yet moving into August, we received some timely rains where actually some of us had record soybean yields. Corn crop was very good, but you didn't have to go very far any direction. Depending on what soil types you had and the amount of rainfall, it was very spotty, but you saw some drought conditions where they didn't have very good yields at all. So we have a variety of conditions throughout the state, but right now most of the state has zero to very little subsoil moisture. So there's a big concern going into this spring that if we don't get some timely rains, maybe not so much this spring, but throughout the summer, there's no water, there's no recharge in the subsoil, to try to bring us through that. So we're going to have to watch the weather closely, do what you can, and go from there, I guess.
You mentioned that there were some good yields nonetheless. It still takes water to grow a corn crop and a soybean crop, but how much does technology have to do with those yields in a drought year?
Well, it's interesting you bring that up because I know the various seed companies, DuPont, Pioneer, and Monsanto, they're doing research on technologies that allow corn and soybean plants to maybe produce a little bit better. Maybe not substantially, but any little bit helps. If you can gain a few bushels with very little water, you've seen what impact the shortage of corn had this year on the market. And if you can get those traits put into the various, the various genetics put into those types of products, overall it's going to help the whole corn industry, especially with the demand that's out there anymore. We keep creating new markets with, the renewable fuels and the demand for livestock and all the demand for the red meat products internationally. So if we can continue to improve on those traits, add to it, build stronger hybrids, it's definitely going to help us in the future.
You have an interest as well because you're on the U.S. Meat Export Federation. So tell me, in that respect, how important the livestock industry is to soybean growers?
Well, I think if you look at most soybean associations, the various states, the livestock area is probably our number one concern other than water quality at this point. Our number one customer is the livestock industry. And when you look at what's happening in the U.S. as far as red meat consumption, we're kind of flatlining right now. We've reached a little bit of a plateau. So any gain economically that we're going to have is going to come from our export markets. And the USMEF has done substantial work in those areas, especially in China and Japan and Mexico, trying to improve those markets, create better infrastructure there, educate those people in those countries that maybe aren't used to some of the cuts that we have. And the other thing is there's a market there for the variety meats that people in the U.S. just don't consume very much of. And it's a high-value market for us that we're trying to take advantage. So in the long run, all soybean growers are benefiting greatly by the livestock industry tapping into these markets and, you know, having the ability to send their products overseas. So it's a high priority for us, and we've worked in many areas trying to support it through checkoff dollars and even on the association side to make sure that that industry moves forward.
So soybean growers have a vested interest in that, and you also work to make sure that meat exports are where they should be.
Oh, certainly. When you look at the world population and projected growth, especially in the China region, right now China is our number one consumer of soybeans, and we don't have as great a market in the beef industry as we should have in China, but there are concerns through the ractopamine issue, the feed additives that producers in the U.S. use. But we're working to try to improve those relationships. We've done so in Japan recently. Japan is allowing now cattle up to 30 months of age to be consumed over there and shipped over there. So it's those types of markets that we're helping to connect with those countries to improve our ability to export those products over there. So it's a big deal to us, and one that we're working quite a bit on.
A lot of people come to Commodity Classic and have questions about, or at least comments on, what is or what is not happening with farm legislation federally. Where do you stand on that?
Well, ASA's position is we've looked at trying to support the insurance program, the crop insurance program. We realize that we need to give up various benefits just like anybody else, and with sequestering looming on the surface on the horizon, it's something we don't want to see happen. We would just soon make those cuts ourselves and try to get the budget back in line. So we're concerned that right now there is talk of even cutting the insurance program back. We don't have the farm bill yet. We're trying to work towards getting that done. In Minnesota recently, Secretary Vilsack and Senator Frank and Senator Klobuchar held a press conference basically talking about the farm bill and the need to get something done so farmers have some certainty in the future. Right now, it's very difficult to plan long range because you don't know what's going to be out there. So I think in the long run, we're all going to be served much better if we can get this job done and everybody get on the same page. We need some certainty there. So we're doing what we can to try to influence that and make sure a respectable farm bill is passed.